One of the most intriguing things about life is taking a challenge and realizing that oftentimes another one will come with it. Seldom do we find in life that it's just one challenge. Oftentimes, it's multiple challenges that come at us. And those challenges are there to really define our effectiveness in faith or our lack thereof. Those challenges are there to cause us to look inside and to evaluate where we are and to make an assessment to be able to move forward. And today we look at a place where Peter brings real clear focus into the places where we oftentimes have the greatest challenges, at work, in life, in circumstances. Today we look at balancing out two great challenges that come at us, because what Peter deals with in this second chapter are two distinctive challenges that always have the capacity, if we're not careful, to cause us to lose focus on who it is God wants us to be. And it has to do with the idea of submitting and suffering. Submission and suffering. And so today I want you to ask yourself a question as we dig into this passage. And you think about your own life. Have you ever been faced with more than one challenge at a single time? Or have you ever had so many things going on that you go, oh my goodness, how am I going to work through this? And it came at you. And you thought to yourself, I'm facing this. You see, the reality is, you think about it for a moment, oftentimes it's not just one thing. Because if we get hurt, we also have to deal with our employment. And if we deal with our employment, we also have to be facing the challenges related to the circumstances that we're encountering, related to our family having to take us places. Pretty soon you realize that they're seldom just single challenges. Many times there are many things that come at us that grab hold of us and cause us to look at our lives. And I think that's why Peter writes the way he does in this passage, because he has such real clarity related to the fact that there are moments that we will go through difficult challenges. We'll go through trying times. But when you think about what Peter writes here, and today we find ourselves in the second chapter of 1 Peter. If you have your Bible, open if you would to 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. And as you open there, I want to ask you two questions that I hope will set in motion the tone of where we're going during these moments. Because, watch this, it is to the degree that we understand submission, to that degree will we understand Jesus' suffering, because Jesus was willing to submit to the Father's will in order to die so that we could have life. And that suffering was incomparable to anything else we could imagine. And as a result, we have to be willing to look at our own lives, dig in carefully to what it is God's saying to us. So I ask you two questions as it relates to these two topics. First of all, when you think about your own life, what do you understand about submission? Submission, perhaps, is a word that's misconstrued oftentimes and seldom is applied properly. It's oftentimes only applied out of the Ephesians passage where it relates to marriage and relationship. And yet, here you find that Peter is not dealing at this point with marriage and relationships. He's instead dealing with life, because that recognition of authority in our lives is what guides us to become who he wants us to be. But submission oftentimes is misunderstood. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But not only what do you understand about submission, but when it comes to suffering, I mean, you think about what you've been through and the difficulty of what it is that you face at times. How do you feel about suffering? Do you like going through difficult times? No. I mean, anybody want to raise their hand and say, yes, bring that suffering on a little bit more? You don't, do you? Because you realize that, and by the way, if you age long enough, you won't have to worry about it. You'll have continual suffering. Your back will hurt, your head will hurt, your leg will hurt, something will hurt every single day. And anyone here is old enough to testify to that, realize exactly what I'm saying. Amen? You can say amen a little louder, because I know what age most of you are, okay? We do go through those different suffering and difficulties. But none of us like suffering. None of us like going through that. And yet, when you read the stories of what God is doing all over the world, I want you to realize there's a common denominator of what God is doing everywhere in the world. I'm reading a book right now about what he is doing in places that are far removed from Christianity right now. And when you read it, I'm going to tell you what you discover. People are willing to suffer to whatever degree necessary because they love Jesus. You know what we created in our world? We created a comfortable Jesus and a comfortable faith that doesn't require us to suffer at all. And you'll discover that that is not God's formula. God's formula is that we would go through difficult times. I read about a young lady in a city, if I named it, you would know it immediately as one of the major cities of another religion. And I read the young lady's story, how she came into a relationship with Jesus and was not willing to renounce it, even though she knew it could cost her her life. And I read the story of her own brother taking her life. And as I read that story, when her brother asked her, "Do you believe?" Without hesitation, the young lady said, "Yes, I love Jesus." And that was the beginning of the next few hours she would lose her life. But she didn't really lose it, because she gained what it was God had for her, an eternity. And so what we discover very quickly, though, is that suffering is not something easy for it. So I want us to look at a few verses of the text, then we're going to dig into the text and set them in motion, the tone, for why we come to the table on this particular day. And so I want you to look, if you would, at verse 21, first of all, because you'll notice that Peter brings Jesus clearly into the middle of our thought process. "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps." You've been called for this purpose. Look back at just verse 13 of the same chapter. Notice here, we find this word that challenges the time. "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right." Obviously here, talking about this whole concept of submission. Then look at verse 18 of this same chapter. "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable." I want to ask you a question. You ever had a boss that wasn't a good boss? If you've worked more than 6 months, you probably have, right? I'll never forget my first boss the first year I got married. I went into my job, you know, and it was 1977, okay? And I had a boss that had to have come from Nazi Germany. I mean, he was that kind of a brutal dictator. And I'll never forget, I walked in one day and he said, "You need to get your hair cut." Well, I don't know if you're familiar with the styles of the 1970s, but it wasn't like you were, you know, that you were supposed to have a buzz, okay? I mean, people had hair back then. And I'll never forget, I walked in, I only been in that job 3 days. And the guy said, "You have got to cut that hair." Well, I'm sitting there thinking, "Now, wait a minute now. You're telling me to cut my hair?" So it's so funny. Back in those days, I didn't like the idea of submitting as well as I do now. And I thought, cut, what am I going to do? Just trim around my ears a little bit here? Make him feel better? So what I do is that right before I go to work, I worked at UPS. I ran the night shift of a UPS delivery station in Shawnee, Oklahoma. And I would right before I'd go in, I would take gel and hairspray and stuff, and I'd pull all my hair and I'd put it all back behind my ear. So when I'd walk in, it looked like I had a haircut, but I didn't have a haircut because I didn't want to submit to the guy from Germany. I instead wanted to keep my hair the way it was, because, you know, I did have other parts of my life other than that job that I wanted to look like I was supposed to look. At least I thought I was supposed to look. But I can remember so vividly when I finally said, "You know what, I'm going to cut my hair because I don't want to." And by the way, he wrote me up the very first time he ever saw my hair. So we had a great relationship, to say the least. But I kept the job because I recognized I needed to submit to that authority. And eventually, eventually, he lost his job. I got elevated in my job and had a great 2 years there working by being willing to submit to the real authority. And that was following the rules of what it was I was supposed to do and making sure I took care of it. But what you discover very quickly is in life, there are many opportunities where if you're not careful, you'll miss God's best for your life. And that's where we find ourselves today, because it's here that Peter deals with this issue of us being willing to submit and suffer. Because if you'll think about it for a moment, sometimes your most difficult circumstances and situation will teach you the greatest lessons. You see, I learned something in that experience. I learned how to relate to people by looking at my boss and saying, "I don't want to do it that way," and changing as I began to grow and to develop. And what you discover is sometimes you can suffer and you learn great things out of it. And that's exactly why when you get in this text, you realize that he begins to deal with this whole issue of us being willing to go through difficult times. That's why he makes it very clear that we have to be willing to submit and follow him. And so today I want us to see just three very distinctive aspects of what it means to submit and to suffer, and let those be balancing parts of who we are. All right, and here's what you're going to discover. The flesh does not want to submit, and the flesh does not want to suffer. You will not find anything in the flesh that says, oh yes, yield to that. And yet you'll discover that Peter reckons with it as he relates to what it is we're supposed to do with our life. The first thing I want you to see is in verses 13 through 17, he gives us a very clear direction about our response to authority. And he uses one single word, submission. Let's look at these verses for a moment. Look at it with me. Verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such, watch this verse, can't miss it. For such is the will of God, that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Now I want you to look at this verse just for a moment, because in verse 15, he makes this very clear statement. For such is the will of God, that by doing right, you may silence. That word there has to do with bringing and muzzling someone. The ignorance of foolish men. And when you get to the word ignorance there, it's interesting what you see, because the original word has to do with the whole idea of someone who willfully and in a hostile way rejects the truth. And so here's what he's saying. I mean, when you read it that way, here's what you see. You're in his will even as someone chooses to, in a very flagrant way, reject the truth. And I'll tell you what's interesting. You can say what you want to about all the things transpiring all over the world. It's amazing what one religion will do to protect their religion and what one real faith will not do to protect its. Because if you look at our faith, we allow people to trample Jesus. We allow people to use his name in vain. We allow all these things to transpire, and most people never raise a hand and say, wait a minute, that is not the Jesus. That is not the Jesus that we know. And I say that to say we need to be very wise about how important it is that we stand up for what is right, for what is true, for what we believe. Now, when you look at this, you realize something, that he's talking about our willingness to respond to authority the right way, to submit to it. And it's interesting what he says, because he says, first of all, you do it for the Lord's sake. You do it for accountability. Because when you look at where he says it, for the Lord's sake, that those words, if you add them all up in the original language, it is your obligation is what that word, all those words mean. And so what do? We submit and we become accountable. But we do it for a reason, because there is a basis in why we submit. And that is that we are doing what is right, doing the right things. I mean, that's why he says here in verse 15, you may silence the ignorance of those foolish men. And when you look at the word foolish there, it has to do with senseless people without reason in life. And so what you discover very quickly is that you and I, the basis of why we do what we do, is because it's right. That's why we do the right thing and live out the right way. But then he also makes it very clear. He gets into this idea of being a bond slave. And when you get into that particular part of what he's trying to say, he's talking about our disposition. And when you look at bond slave, it's interesting, when you look at bond slave in the biblical times, it was the absolute lowest position you could have in life. But here's what Peter says. When you are submitting to authority, and you are submitting to what it is that God has put before you, you are elevated to the highest place by being a bondslave, by being willing to give your life and to serve. Because one thing about being a bondslave, it's all about service, isn't it? It's all about doing whatever it is that would please those that we are connected to, in a gracious way, in a godly way. Probably no one's probably said to you, hey, you know, I want you to be a bondslave for the Lord. But here's what Peter said. Every one of us has a responsibility by way of disposition. In other words, how we look at life, our disposition should be that I'm a bond slave of the Lord. But he also said, not only that though, that there are the practical parts of being willing to submit to authority. I mean, look how he says it here. Look if you would, verse 17. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. It's interesting what he says here because he uses honor twice. And he says honor, love, and fear. And fear, there's not a negative word there at all. It actually is a recognition. And what he says here is, very practically, you want to make a big difference in your life? You learn how to honor, you learn how to love, you learn how to fear. And when he talks about the whole idea of being willing to fear God, what he's saying is make sure you keep God in the right place in your life. Make sure you have him as the authority of your life. Because that's really what he's talking about here when he's talking about responding to authority, the authority placed over us. And what you discover is oftentimes you will have bosses who don't line up with you, who have a different reflection and persuasion and go at things in a different way. I'll never forget my oldest child was going through great challenges in her work with unique challenges related to the people that she worked for and what they expected of her and everything and how they went at her. And I'll never forget, I kept saying to her over and over and over again one word, persevere. Persevere. Because what happens is when we start submitting to authority, honoring God with our lives, fearing him more than our bosses, in other words, reverencing who he is, something amazing happened in our life. And what's amazing about that is every person who chose to persecute my precious daughter lost their jobs over a period of time. She didn't have to raise a hand. All she had to do is keep being who God made her to be. And listen carefully. You don't have to walk around raising your hand all the time saying this about that person, that about the other person. Truth is, you'll probably misinterpret it. What you can say to God is, I choose to persevere through uniquely peculiar times in my life so that ultimately it'll bring honor to God. That's what you and I can do if we're wise. So be wise in how it is you process life. The second thing you see, though, not only our response to authority, but our responsibilities in our own vocation. Because every one of us have jobs. Every one of us have responsibilities. And what he does here is he identifies all kinds of different responsibilities that we have. Look at verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. Now, I've met many people who want that verse out of the Bible because their thought is, if I don't have that verse, that means I don't have to deal and contend with what it is going on here. But the reality is, you can't take that verse out of the Bible. Because what it says is, you are going, listen carefully, without Jesus, how do you expect a boss to be reasonable? I mean, without the Spirit of God at work in someone, do you anticipate them being able to be responsible in a way that makes sense to you as a child of God? And the answer is no, you can't. But what you can do is realize that you have a responsibility, and you have to be willing just to follow that responsibility and allow it to guide every step of your journey. Then I want to just take one more moment before we come to our communion. And I want to just show you one other thing that I want you to see. Because in verse 21, you'll notice what he says. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. And what you discover here is, and I want you to see this as we come to this table today, we have a model to follow. Jesus has modeled out for us how life is supposed to work. All we have to do is be willing to allow him to work in our lives. So I want us to come to the table today with this thought in mind. How do you submit, and how willing are you to suffer? Because what you discover is Jesus was the perfect picture of what happens when someone comes to that moment where they submit their heart to God. And by submitting to him, they begin to experience what he has for their lives. And today, as you come to this table, here's what I want you to realize. You may have suffered. You may have been challenged. You may have been overwhelmed. You may have faced circumstances you never dreamed would come your way. But if you will submit all of it to God, he will carry you through it. And listen carefully. The reason most train wrecks happen in life is pride keeps us from submitting. And when pride takes the throne of our lives, what do? I want to be right no matter what. I want to have the answer no matter what. And that pride leads to downfall. Because what happened? When pride takes precedent over God's purpose, what happens to our emotional structure? Everything is turned upside down. And we operate, instead of with peace, we operate with anger. Instead of with faith, we operate with fear. Instead of having joy that's unspeakable, we're so unhappy we can't stand it. And listen carefully. The reason most people find themselves unhappy is they are not willing to submit to what it is God has for their life. And if you're here today and you're not willing to submit yourself to what it is that God has, you will struggle your entire life. But if you submit, yes, you may suffer as a result of that, but if you submit, you will experience a peace that passes understanding, and it'll change your life. Let's pray together as our men come. Father, thank you. Thank you for the privilege of being able to take a moment and realize that we indeed must submit ourselves to you. I pray, Lord, you bless. You bless as we respond to you and gather around this table. Lord, may this communion moment be a moment for us to look inside and to hear you speaking. I pray, Lord, you bless each person. There's someone here who's struggling at the point of submission. May they allow you to guide their very lives. And we'll bless you for that in Christ's name. And as you guide us, Lord, I ask in a special way for someone, anyone here who's struggling at the point of submission, that they realize it's the most powerful point they could ever take to say, Lord, I submit myself to you. I take up my cross. I deny myself. I follow you. Bless us, Lord, as we commune in Christ's name. Amen.